Hello, everyone, and welcome back once again to the Great Scott Podcast. I am joined by entertainer Maisie Kay. How's it going, Maisie?
It's going good. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on. Very nice to meet you. And I've been listening to your music, and I love your music. I just want to start out by saying that.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so glad you like it.
And it's not just me. I know you're getting all kinds of listeners. I think Spotify is blowing up, as well as your YouTube page as well. So it's definitely not just me that enjoys your music.
Yeah, it's been really cool. I feel like there's been a lot of new fans in the last year, and it's exciting to see.
How long has it taken you to build up a fan? I know you've been at this for oh gosh, 10 years now. I know, but how long was it before the fan base really started to grow for you?
I mean, I've been very fortunate in that I have some very loyal fans. So I have people that have been with me since my first release, Blood Filled Tears. And that, I think that must have been, God, 2016 or something crazy. So I have a lot of really loyal older listeners. But I think touring really made a difference. I think actually getting to go out and travel the world and play all these different shows and open for all these great artists, I think that really branched out my listeners and people that just hadn't heard my music before and luckily seemed to really like it.
Why do you travel back and forth sometimes between London and the United States? I know you probably still have family over in the British Isles.
Yeah, I still have family and friends. I was actually just in London for about a month this summer doing a writing camp and things like that, getting my visa renewed. So yeah, I get to go
Oh yeah,
back.
that's always fun, I'm sure.
Yes, I was a bit scared that it would be difficult, but it was luckily really, really easy. So nice and smooth.
Oh, good. There's hope for me then when I choose to go travel the world then.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So, just like every other singer, Maisie, or a lot of them actually, you really did get your start when you were young. You actually were singing before you could even talk.
Yeah, there's a really fun recording my mom has back in England on this device, and it's Baa Baa Black Sheep, but it's
Oh,
just pure
yeah.
gibberish.
Does she still have that recording?
Yeah, she does, back home in England.
Now, will we ever get to hear that on some single, or get to, or will you ever release that?
Honestly, maybe, maybe there's a cool way to start it as an intro to a song. That could be quite fun.
And you actually just started. You're talking about on tour. You're actually going, or actually starting tour on Saturday. You actually made your tour debut 2 years ago, pretty much.
I first toured in 2023 and I've just been going pretty much nonstop ever since. So this is going to be my second time in Australia this year, actually. I just played there, I think, in March.
Oh, wait, which part of Australia will you be in?
Well, this time around, we're going sort of everywhere. Earlier this year, we just did Sydney, Melbourne, and Brisbane, and this time we're doing Adelaide, Perth, Wollongong, and Auckland, New Zealand. I'm really
Oh.
excited for that because I've never been to New Zealand.
Now, did you get to see the Sydney Opera House while you were in Australia?
Yes, we did. We had a really nice dinner actually right outside it. It was lovely.
Oh, nice. It's gigantic, isn't it?
Yes, and it's so impressive with all the like moving artwork they display on it. It's
Oh,
so
that's cool.
cool.
Yeah. I've yet to be there, but definitely on my bucket list to go see it. But yeah. So, anyways, you really did kind of make the scene of the music field when you did Andy's hit Distance. You provided the Japanese lyrics for it.
So I wrote the English lyrics and then I sing in Japanese for a little bit of that song, which was really fun getting to do.
Now, when you're on tour, do you sing Japanese as well?
I
Or is it just that
don't.
one song?
It's just that one song, but I feel like if I get to tour Asia again, specifically Japan, it might be a cool surprise to take that song out.
Now, what is that song? Can you tell us what that song is about?
That song, for me, if I remember correctly, I'd written it about a childhood friend that I had ended up separated from. And the song was basically just about how much I genuinely missed them. And even though we weren't currently in each other's lives, they still had a very active presence in my heart. And it's lovely to listen to that song back now because me and that friend actually reconnected and we've been back to being best mates for many years now. So it's nice listening to that because it's no longer sad for me to hear it.
Did anything happen in between that time that made you guys disconnect, or was it kind of like a career thing? Not to, I mean, I don't want to get too personal, but.
Yes. Well, not to spill his tea, but it was an ex-girlfriend of his that just didn't like us being friends. So we just wanted to go on. But all is well now.
Yes. Well, speaking of relationships, you actually wrote Sunlight, which you claim was your very first true love song that you wrote, because you've had a lot of disappointments in the past, or you're used to being disappointed in relationships from what you've said.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, Sunlight and the whole Wanderlust EP was such a wonderful period of my life because it was, I think, the truest my writing had ever been. And it was just my first time feeling so many powerful emotions that I hadn't had the honor to feel in my adult life yet. And yeah, I don't know if I'll ever write a song like Sunlight again. It was so special and so just genuinely, I wasn't thinking about it. I hadn't set the intention to try and write a song. I was just so in the moment. And it was such a wonderful experience to write that. Yeah, I don't know if I'll ever be able to quite replicate that.
I think you also said, and I was reading, how last year you've gotten to the point where you've gotten to writing your true authentic self, not caring so much what others have to say or think about the music, just in writing about what you feel more than anything.
Yeah, and I think seeing the reception to me doing that with Sunlight and Wanderlust was really heartwarming. I had so many people with Sunlight saying that it made them think of their wives or their family, and it was just such an amazing bonding experience with my fans to sort of connect with different loves from all over the world. It was really cool.
That's a hard place to get to when you can actually, as an artist, get to your true authentic self and feel those emotions and let them out and be able to just express them freely without fear of judgment.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think especially my long-term fans, they could really hear that change. There was a time where I think I was trying to sort of do what I thought pop music was supposed to be and what I thought labels would want to hear from me. And when I switched to just writing what I felt, the reception I got was so much more genuine and exciting, and they were excited to hear it. So yeah, it took a long time, but I feel good about where I'm at as a writer now.
Yes. Now, going beyond your music, you have hobbies and interests, well, just like everyone else in this world. you really do identify with the butterfly, how they start out with something small and then turn into something beautiful. That seems to be your animal that you really connect with.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when I did that branding, it was when I did the EP Metamorphosis, and it was sort of about how I was like a butterfly transforming into my genuine artistic self. And at that same time, I also just started raising butterflies in my personal life just for fun. A way to sort of connect to nature. I live in an apartment and I'm in LA, so there's not a lot of nature and I think I miss it. So yeah, I still raise butterflies on my balcony and release them every summer. And I think, yeah, the process of watching them from caterpillar to butterfly is really quite spectacular. And I like to sort of bring that magical process into my own artistry a little bit.
I didn't think about that until I read that and how that really does pertain to an artist and what you're trying to convey for what the butterfly does. I didn't really think about that, but that's interesting.
Yeah, thank you. It felt really appropriate for where I was at that time in my life.
And you're also a video game lover as well, much like, so you're still a kid at heart, it sounds like.
Oh, definitely. I'm sitting in my gaming chair right now. I love a good video game. I'm definitely going to bring my Nintendo Switch to tour with me so I can still play something while I'm away.
I still have a Sega Genesis, Maisie, believe it or not. I still have a Sega Genesis from like early, oh gosh, from like 300 years ago from now what it seems like.
Oh my
But
God, that's
still my
amazing.
brother's, but I still play Sonic on it and Mrs. Pac-Man. And yeah, I'm still old school, I guess.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it's my brother's, but I still like to go down and play those Sonic Hedgehog and Tails and all that stuff, and just something. I don't know. I haven't caught up with the times yet, I guess.
No, I think that's amazing. I have an old GameCube somewhere in my closet, and I used to love to play the original Animal Crossing on it. So fun.
Yeah, those things were big when they came out in the early 2000s. Yeah. Yeah, like everybody wanted one of those, but. Anyway, so also something interesting is that you're also writing a book novel series about fantasy, and you're on book one. Have you gone beyond book one yet?
So that is still very much in progress. I probably can't say too much, but there is sort of an animated project also in the same universe as the novel series, and that is sort of at the forefront right now. We're sort of working on a little visual project for it. So I'm not sure when that will be done or when that might get to see the light of day, but it is actively in the works, which is really exciting.
Now, someone had asked you about maybe what your dream is for that, and said you said maybe turning that into a video game if it really does take off.
I mean, that would be an absolute dream. I could totally see it as like an open world RPG fantasy game, but that's like in an
Done.
ideal world, and it would take like,
Yeah.
gosh, 10 plus years to develop something like that. So it would be a far in the future if it ever happened, but we'll see how this visual does first.
Now let's talk about your new single that you have out called "Death of the Party." Can you tell us what that's about?
Yeah, so I came up with the name Death of the Party as a take on the exact opposite of Life of the Party. And it was about how I sort of felt a bit unwanted at social situations. I have social anxiety and I don't always feel like I do the best in social interactions. I certainly try, but I'm more introverted and it felt like a lot of parties I was at, I just felt like a giant buzzkill. And so I thought, how fun would it be to write sort of a moody song about sort of being like this grim reaper that shows up at the social gathering that no one really wants there. And you sort of embrace the fact that you're not wanted there and you embrace that you're killing the vibe, if you will. So it's a tongue-in-cheek song, definitely, but it's one of my favorite, if not my favorite title I've ever come up with.
Why do you think that is? I mean, I know this is probably not for every artist, but a good portion of them seem to be introverts and really just don't really want to be around people, or they're not maybe quite the life of the party. Why is that, do you think, as artists, that we just kind of don't really want to be around people all that much?
It's interesting. I feel like people with creative minds can tend to go a bit more inwards sometimes, or at least speaking personally, I know I can. So I feel like that might play a part in it. I just sort of end up in my own head a little bit. And I also just overthink so much. I overthink every small little interaction I'm doing and wondering if it was a good thing to be doing or not. But I also feel like a lot of creative people ended up getting bullied in some way in high school. And I feel like, honestly, that plays a role too. Like, I feel like so many people in art got picked on to some extent, and it sort of makes you naturally go inwards a bit more. So that would be my guess.
It seems to me that's where it starts at, being bullied somewhere along the way, and or picked on or teased or whatever, and then that person ends up having a creative mind somehow, somewhere along the way, and that's it seems to be their endeavor that they choose to go down.
Yeah, and it's definitely a battle, but I think that's what contributes to great music is that sort of
Oh yeah.
inner workings of the mind and being able to go inwards like that.
Absolutely. And like you mentioned, you're on tour, and you're on tour with, let me get this right, Lauren Spencer Smith. You guys are, I know you had mentioned you guys are going to be in Australia and then over in Auckland, New Zealand, you said, right?
Yes, I'm
Are you guys
very
gonna?
excited.
So have you toured with Lauren before? Or is this your first time?
this will be my first time. Yeah, but she's great. Her voice is incredible, and I can't wait to hear her live.
Absolutely. Well, Maisie, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast. It's been a pleasure to get to talk to you, and very nice to meet you, and much continued success to you.
Thank you. Yeah, nice to meet you too.